there. Welcome to Simple Acts, Big Impact, celebrating teen changemakers. I'm your host, Natalie Silverstein. I'm an author, philanthropist, and passionate advocate for family and youth service. On this short weekly pod, I have the honor of meeting tweens, teens, and young adults who are volunteers, advocates, nonprofit founders, activists, and fundraisers. My goal is to celebrate and amplify these big-hearted people and the work they're doing, and to inspire you all, no matter your age, to find your purpose and passion through meaningful service to others. I firmly believe, and these conversations will convince you, that every person can make a difference, one simple act at a time. This week is National Robotics Week, so I'm delighted to share this conversation with William B., a college student at Tulane University, who created a nonprofit called Robo Recovery, which provides robotics kits and increases access to robotics education for under-resourced children in New Orleans. William is yet another great example of a young person who took their passion for something, in this case, STEAM education and robotics, and is sharing it with others in a truly impactful way. Welcome back, everybody. I'm really excited to introduce you to William today, who is working on a project in a city that I absolutely love, New Orleans, Louisiana. So he's going to tell us all about it. Hey, William, how are you?
Good. How are you, Natalie?
I'm great. Thanks so much for joining us today. So why don't you start from the beginning, introduce yourself, how old you are, where you go to school, what you do, and then tell us all about your organization.
Yeah, so first of all, thank you so much for having me. Again, my name is William. I am a rising senior at Tulane University, and I'm 21. And during my freshman year at Tulane, I started a nonprofit organization called Robo Recovery. Basically, I was at Tulane, we have this program requirement to fulfill, like to do public service for two semesters before we graduate. And I was on my second semester of my public service requirement, and I was looking for places to just do my service. And one of my first thoughts was to mentor a robotics team in the local area. I had done robotics for 7 years when I was a kid, and I thought I had a lot of experience in this area. And I thought, you know what, why don't I give back in a way that I know best? And I started searching, and I basically couldn't find any programs at a charter school in New Orleans. And that really surprised me, because I could find like a lot of programs at the private schools in the area, but it just seemed that there was a dearth in the public schools. And so I started looking further into this and trying to figure out like why this was. And I realized that it was part of a bigger story about the education system in New Orleans, and how, despite being reformed massively after Hurricane Katrina, there are still major gaps in the opportunities that students are offered. And I saw a place where I could really come in and help, and to bring access to educational enrichment.
Amazing. So, but tell me a little bit more about that. You said there was a major reform after Katrina, which is now several years ago. But even so, the funding isn't there for this sort of enhancement and enrichment. And exactly what did you find when you did this research? I mean, did you see that it wasn't that there wasn't a will to do it? It just perhaps wasn't that they didn't have the funding to do it?
Yeah, definitely. There's a trifecta of problems all going on. So first of all, Louisiana itself is consistently ranked 48th to 49th in the nation for education, right behind Mississippi, our next door neighbor. And really, it's despite all these reforms after Katrina, you still have a lot of the problems that were going on before Katrina. So for instance, a third of teachers, or approximately a third of teachers, every year quit in New Orleans.
Wow.
Think about it. If you want to have a sustainable program that's run by a teacher, and usually these teachers are there for many years and able to pass it on to different students, if your teacher's only there for 2 to 3 years, the program's not going to last.
Right.
A lot of this, also furthermore, in New Orleans, after Katrina, the entire public school system basically went on and became charter schools. And these charter schools are privately managed, and oftentimes many of the underperforming schools will be shut down within a couple of years. And so you really have students who are going to these schools not able to even have a consistent, you know, school or even a consistent teacher to be involved with, you know. And so that's really going to inhibit the types of long-term engagement and enrichment that you can have for things like robotics.
Right. Absolutely. So tell me nuts and bolts about Robo Recovery. Exactly. How does it work? How did you get started? How did you find some funding for it if you needed funding to do it? So tell me everything, kind of soup to nuts.
Yeah, absolutely. So I first reached out to a local nonprofit called the STEM Library Lab. And they are a organization that basically loans science equipment to teachers. So instead of teachers having to pay like $2,000 for some physics equipment that they'll use only once a year, rather just have someone who owns all that equipment, loans it out, and so different teachers can use it different times of the year. And so I reached out to them. I said, hey, like, I have this idea that's kind of similar to yours. We would take in donations of robotics kits from across the nation, store them at our, you know, at your facility, and then use them to facilitate after school robotics programs at different schools in the New Orleans area. And so really that was like kind of the start of it. And then over like the next year and a half, it was really a struggle to get like the equipment, to get schools to really trust that some college students to like run a program with them, and to get students from Tulane into the community. And so really it was this kind of all these different things coming together over the course of that year or so. And since then we've like expanded our programs and shown that our programs have, you know, proven efficacy. We've done studies, and we've shown the metrics, and we've seen that students really are engaged in our programs, and they really learn something that they can take for years to come.
Absolutely. And are you during the school day, or are you after school enrichment? And then how did you make those relationships to kind of get an inroads into some of the schools? Are they local to right around the Tulane campus?
Yeah, so our schools generally are, the schools we work with are in all parts of New Orleans. Tulane itself is based in Uptown New Orleans, which has historically been predominantly white, predominantly very affluent part of town. So we realized that the schools we want to work with are, you know, serving students who come from low-income neighborhoods, who are from ethnic minorities that are really unrepresented in STEM. So we really try to take Tulane students out of that bubble of Uptown they really, you know, immerse themselves in, and really see like the real New Orleans, like the people like who are locals who, you know, have been in the city, and try to get them to meet and connect with these people. So really it was about first like getting connections through that organization that I talked about, the STEM Library Lab, because they worked with a lot of schools and we kind of got connected to different schools with them. But eventually we started to make a name for ourselves and to basically like went around and, you know, we emailed schools at first, but then the schools started to find us as well. And so that's kind of been like a, you know, this mutual relationship that we kind of developed.
And are you going in during the school day, or is it the kids have to stay after school?
Yeah, so we started with after school first. Our main line of programming is after school. So we do two afternoons a week, and we'll do 6 to 8 weeks of programming. And we have around two students from Tulane come over and then mentor the students and teach them the robots and just be there as like kind of like a big brother, a big sister to kind of help them. And recently we expanded into in-school programming. So we go into the schools during the school day, and really robotics is something that's done over time. It's, you know, you can't just build a robot like in 30 minutes and then kind of like that's be the end of it. So we kind of simplify things down quite a bit. But really our goal with the in-school is to get students engaged with the robots, to have the robots like turning in circles. And I remember like clearly it's not like when we have like the robots turning in circles, the kids will turn with them. And it's really fun because, you know, that it's, you know, they really are engaged with it, and they're really excited. And we run surveys in our in-school programs. We find that over 85% of our students like want more robotics programming after we do our in-school programs.
Right. Of course they do. It's so fun, right? Like, you know, my son is a computer science major, and he used to love robotics, you know, when he was a kid, because it's so fun. You can make it actually do fun things. And so I bet the schools are actually really excited to see you guys come in, both with your time and your mentorship of their students, and also with the resources that you're bringing to bear. So how did you find folks you said you were kind of soliciting all over the country to get robotics kits to be donated. Did you you go right to the manufacturers of the robotic kits? Are you getting them from individuals? How does that work?
Yeah, so really the robotics kits, I've realized, I would say like 7 years ago, that there was a surplus of used robotics kits just lying around in the United States. And the reason is because if I'm like an eighth grader and I'm doing the last season of my like middle school robotics competition, when I go to like the high school robotics kind of environment and competition, I don't have anything to do with like the equipment that I've, you know, built up during my middle school years and I've used during my middle school years, because they're totally different systems between middle school and high school. And so you have a lot of people with just these robots lying around. And really, I sent something out on Facebook. I said, hey, like, you know, if you have spare robots, we'll take them. We'll pay for shipping. You just got to put it in the box and we'll take it. And so I sent that out once, and since then, I think people have found out, like, you know, have they found somewhere on Facebook that someone has reposted this or someone's like done that. And so they send us, they contact us, and we've garnered, I would say, around $40,000 in like in-kind donations.
Wow.
Over the past, I would say, 2 years or so. So it's really like, you know, for us, it's a win-win, because people are able to take these robots and donate them to a better cause. And we're able to provide programming with minimal expenses, because we don't have to necessarily buy these equipment. And we're not sending anything that's necessarily like, you know, used or damaged. Like most of these robots equipment, the equipment can be used for easily like 10 to 15 years, but most people will use it for 2 to 3 years. So there's really like, you know, there's a disparity in that, and we want to take advantage of that unused resource.
Absolutely. And what I love about this too is it's a, you know, you're reducing the waste going into the landfill. I mean, if parents are looking, it's like Legos, right? Once the kid has put the Lego thing together, and I bet there are some robotic kits that are sort of like Legos, like you end up, what am I going to do with this now? And you know, throwing that out is wasteful, and there's a way to get it into the hands of a child who can use it and needs it. And how about maybe corporate sponsorship? Have you found any robotics companies or toy companies that are willing to send you donations?
Yeah, so we kind of, for our like kind of in-kind donations, we really solicit from individuals. And that being said, we've also garnered a lot of funding from like local philanthropy in New Orleans. We're also seeking some funding from some Silicon Valley companies, because they will fund teams and robotics teams and kind of STEM organizations in Silicon Valley, but that doesn't mean that they can also fund these programs in areas that really do need the funding a lot more.
100%. And these under-resourced students, as you pointed out, they're the ones that are suffering because they don't have the enrichment that kids have in more affluent communities, right? Where there's computer programming and there's gaming and there's robotics. These schools are, you know, basically just trying to educate their kids at the bare minimum, and they don't have enough for these types of extras. You've mentioned a few of the challenges that you faced like early on and stuff, but what are some of the other challenges that you faced as, you know, a startup organization and a student-run organization? Anything that you can share with us and how you overcame it?
Yeah, I think the first thing that comes to mind is definitely Hurricane Ida. And that's and that was something we couldn't really control.
So we
were about to start our first programs like the week after Hurricane Ida, and that came through. It knocked out power, water, throughout the city. Luckily, for 200 students like me, we were able to evacuate to Houston and stay outside of New Orleans for about a month or so. But that really kind of threw our programs into a whirlwind, especially those were our first programs, our kind of our pilots.
Right.
And I think really during that time, I was freaking out, because I was like, this is something I've put together for like 4 or 5 months, you know, being thrown away by like some natural disaster. But luckily we were able to get in contact with the schools and make sure they were okay, make sure their students were okay. And once they went back into school, we were able to recoup and really get those programs up and running again.
Absolutely. And what a wonderful thing for kids to have to look forward to after yet another devastating hurricane that probably displaced a lot of people. That's wonderful. And again, that's not something you can really prepare for, but also you just need to roll with it, right? You're in a part of the world where this happens. Luckily, Tulane has the resources to evacuate and to help its students. But, you know, as you've pointed out, Tulane also has a responsibility to the community, right? So, and you all giving back in this way, and I know Tulane is like the best school in the country in terms of encouraging its students to give back in terms of community service. And I think that's really fantastic. Well, William, how can people learn more and maybe support you, maybe send robotics kits? But also, I think it's important for folks to learn a little bit about what you're doing, because maybe they could replicate this in their own communities.
Absolutely. Yeah. So really, like, Robo Recovery was started in New Orleans just because I was in New Orleans. And so definitely it's something that, you know, like a similar model can be definitely carried out in other parts of the country. To learn more, I'd really say, like, we have our website, roborecovery.org. So that's R-O-B-O recovery.org. And there you can learn a lot about the reason why we pursue what we do, like the statistics that kind of back that up, you know, why our programs work and how to help out, and whether that be donations or just to get in contact. Yeah, so I think really our website is the best place. Our social media is a little bit, we haven't really like gone to that right now, but I would say definitely the website is the best place to get in contact.
Absolutely. That's wonderful. Well, I'm wishing you the best of luck. I think it's really fantastic. I think this is just such a wonderful way to engage young people in something that is just fun and they can learn a lot. And also, I think it's terrific that you have engaged your classmates. Are you a computer science major? What are you majoring in at Tulane?
Funny enough, I'm a biology major. I think robotics was definitely one of the most transformative and influential experiences of my childhood, and I would really hate for students not to have access to that.
Absolutely.
And that's really my inspiration to do that. So nonetheless, I think this is something that I would continue doing despite pursuing other journeys in my academic career.
Absolutely. And as you said, you know, this is a perfect example of what I say all of the time, which is find something that you have a passion for, something that you love doing, and then try and figure out a way to share it with others. And that's exactly what you've done here with Robo Recovery. Well, thanks so much for sharing this story, William. I really love it. I'm wishing you the best of luck in all things, and I hope we can hear from you soon.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Natalie.
Thank you. Take care.
Thanks so much for listening. If you were inspired by what you heard today, please follow, rate, and review. These things really matter. And if you know a tween or a teen who is doing great things in his, her, or their community, send them my way. I'd love to meet them and share their stories with a world that could really use a dose of inspiration right about now. You can get in touch with me through my website, simpleactsguide.com. Until next time, remember to keep eyes, ears, hearts, and minds open to the needs of others, and always be kind.